It's December the 29th. Let's read the Bible. Friends, welcome back to this year-long journey from Genesis to Revelation in just 1 year. So here we are. There are 3 days left in 2024. We are coming right up on, well, we're about to start 2025. And I was going to say how quickly this year has passed, but really, we're about to be one quarter of the way through the 21st century. It seems like just yesterday we were celebrating the end of 1999 and the beginning of the year 2000. Where has the last quarter century gone? Well, time is moving on. What a great joy we've had this year to go through the Word of God. We started in January climbing the great mountain of God's revelation. And so today we are in the book of Revelation. There's today, there's tomorrow, there's December the 31st, and we will, by God's grace, have finished reading the Word of God together. So thank you for being with us. I'm coming to you live this morning from my office in the basement of our home here in Shawnee, Kansas. I know many of you watch it live. A lot of you, probably, maybe even a bigger number, watch it a little bit later. It doesn't matter. We are glad to have you with us. I hope you will tell us where you're watching from this morning. I'm not going to read the whole list of states, but I was interested yesterday to see to the list of states that I gave you. We added yesterday Virginia, South Dakota, Nebraska, Missouri, but no Kansas. Nobody from Kansas has checked in. Surely I'm not the only one in the state of Kansas who are watching or doing these videos. So if you're a Kansan, check in and say hello. And yesterday I said we had visitors watching from UAE, United Arab Emirates, Dubai, Australia, Kenya, India. Well, we added yesterday Rwanda in Africa, Jamaica, the Caribbean, South Africa, Colombia, and then the island country of Trinidad. So that is tremendously exciting. So whether you're watching on Facebook or YouTube or LinkedIn or Twitter, it doesn't matter. On the KBM website, just jot down in the comments, let us know where you are today or whenever you are watching this video. Wendy says, greetings from Trinidad. My second year going along with Reverend Ray. Such a blessing to my life. Ready to take the journey next year as well. And then these friends say, may God richly bless you and Marlene for what you are doing to teach and offer understanding to us that need the Word of God. And it is signed Phil and Sharon in the desert oil patch of Texas. Then Melanie says, let's read the Bible to 2025. And she puts an exclamation point there. I'm starting again to delve into God's Word. Pastor Ray, I so appreciate your solid teaching and insightful commentary. I hear you as I listen to AFR Daily. And I should just comment, as I have said along the way, you know, I do today's issues on American Family Radio. And as a result, we have hundreds and hundreds of AFR listeners who've hopped on the Bible bus with us. Joe says, this is my second year and I got my ticket for the third. I am praying that this bus ride never ends. Then Archie and Glenda say, listening from Thomasville, Georgia, we've been with you every night since January the 1st, 2024. It has been a blessing. Well, I think the blessing really is mine to read these comments and to know that so many people have joined with us in reading the Word of God together. Now, yesterday, I gave you a little teaser about this new version of our Revelation video series. Back in 2021, I did 23 hours of Bible teaching, 22 hours going verse by verse through the book of Revelation, then another hour of questions and answers on Bible prophecy in the book of Revelation. That's been out about 4 years. Well, some dear friends of ours took those Revelation videos and jazzed them up and greatly increased the video quality, added some high quality graphics, created a study guide, added subtitles. I don't even know how to explain this, but there's a way you can click on it and you can see, as I'm speaking, subtitles in two versions of Mandarin and then also in the Spanish language. So, and since I was with you yesterday, got a note saying that work has been done. It's not all up and ready to be released yet, but I think very, very soon, early in January, that new version of the Revelation series, I think it's going to be very popular because the graphics are going to be easier to look at, and the video is cleaned up, and the study guide is going to be extremely helpful to you. So do be looking for that. You know, just go to Keep Believing and then click on videos and come down to the Revelation series, and you'll find all the information you need there. Okay. Today, Revelation 14, 15, 16, 17, and 18. You remember the outline of the book, don't you? The angel said, write the things you've seen. That's chapter 1. Then said to John, write the things that are. That's the letters to the seven churches, basically the church age, chapters 2 and 3, and the things that are yet to come, chapters 4 through 22. I believe that everything after chapter 4, verse 1, is yet future to us. It is describing events that are going to take place leading up into, leading us into the seven-year tribulation period. Then when Christ returns to the earth to set up his kingdom at the end of the tribulation. Now, having said that, remember, there are, the number seven is very important in the book of Revelation, seven angels. Yesterday, we read about, just briefly, the seven thunders. And the seven thunders had some kind of message. And John says, I was about to write it down. And the angel said, no, don't write that down. I think that was a promise of further judgment coming on the earth. But for whatever reason, those thunderous judgments are unrevealed. So we don't really know what the seven thunders were saying or communicating. But there it is. Seven churches, seven angels, seven trumpets, seven seals, seven bowls, seven thunders. The number seven, very important in this book. And remember, the purpose of Revelation is not so you can date the rapture of the church or identify the Antichrist, as interesting as that may be. The word revelation, apocalypse, means the revealing. It's the revelation, not exactly of the future, though that is part of it, and not the revelation of the Antichrist, though he figures in. It's to help us know Jesus Christ is King of Kings and Lord of Lords now and in the future. One day he will reign on the earth. And so we're going to see his great victory as we read today, tomorrow, and as we read the day after tomorrow and be finished with the book of Revelation. So here are the chapter titles for today. Revelation 14, the Lamb on Mount Zion. Revelation 15, praise before judgment. Revelation 16, the seven bowls and Armageddon. Revelation 17, very interesting, the doom of Babylon. And Revelation 18, the fall of Babylon. And I believe that what these chapters are describing, these are events that take us very near the end of the coming seven-year tribulation period. Now let's pray. Father, as we come to your word on this happy morning, we pray that you will open our eyes. Lord, if you don't help us, we'll never understand. If you don't send your spirit, we'll never get it. It'll not make sense to us. So send your spirit into every heart. And as I read these words, your words, Lord, tattoo your truth on our hearts so we'll know what you're saying to us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Revelation 14, then I looked and there was the Lamb standing on Mount Zion. And with him were 144,000 who had his name and his Father's name written on their foreheads. I heard a sound from heaven like the sound of cascading waters and the rumbling of loud thunder. The sound I heard was like harpists playing on their harps. They sang a new song before the throne and before the four living creatures and the elders, but no one could learn the song except the 144,000 who'd been redeemed from the earth. These are the ones who have not defiled themselves with women since they remained virgins. These are the ones who follow the Lamb wherever he goes. They were redeemed from humanity as the first fruits for God and the Lamb. No lie was found in their mouths. They are blameless. Then I saw another angel flying high overhead with the eternal gospel to announce to the inhabitants of the earth, to every nation, tribe, language, and people. He spoke with a loud voice, fear God and give him glory, because the hour of his judgment has come. Worship the one who made heaven and earth, the sea and the springs of water. And another, a second angel, followed, saying, it has fallen. Babylon the great has fallen. She made all nations drink the wine of her sexual immorality, which brings wrath. And another, a third angel, followed them and spoke with a loud voice, "If anyone worships the beast and its image and receives a mark on his forehead or on his hand, he will also drink the wine of God's wrath, which is poured full strength into the cup of his anger. He will be tormented with fire and sulfur in the sight of the holy angels and in the sight of the Lamb, and the smoke of their torment will go up forever and ever. There is no rest day or night for those who worship the beast and its image, or anyone who receives the mark of its name. This calls for endurance from the saints who keep God's commands and their faith in Jesus." Then I heard a voice from heaven saying, "Write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on." Yes, says the Spirit, so they will rest from their labors, since their works follow them. Then I looked, and there was a white cloud, and one like the Son of Man was seated on the cloud with a golden crown on his head and a sharp sickle in his hand. Another angel came out of the temple, crying out in a loud voice to the one who was seated on the cloud, "Use your sickle and reap, for the time to reap has come, since the harvest of the earth is ripe." So the one seated on the cloud swung his sickle over the earth, and the earth was harvested. Then another angel, who also had a sharp sickle, came out of the temple in heaven. Yet another angel, who had authority over fire, came from the altar, and he called with a loud voice to the one who had the sharp sickle, "Use your sharp sickle and gather the clusters of grapes from the vineyard of the earth, because its grapes have ripened." So the angel swung his sickle at the earth and gathered the grapes from the vineyard of the earth, and he threw them into the great winepress of God's wrath. Then the press was trampled outside the city, and blood flowed out of the press, up to the horses' bridles, for about 180 miles. And I pause here only to say this. This chapter, these chapters, ought to give in forever to the idea that God is only a God of love. God is not only God of love, as he certainly is, for God so loved the world, but he's also a God of judgment and wrath. Those who will not open their hearts to receive his love must one day face the awesome eternal wrath of God. Revelation chapter 15, "Then I saw another great and awe-inspiring sign in heaven, seven angels with the seven last plagues, for with them God's wrath will be completed. I also saw something like a sea of glass mixed with fire, and those who'd won the victory over the beast, its image, and the number of its name were standing on the sea of glass with harps from God. They sang the song of God's servant Moses and the song of the Lamb. Great and awe-inspiring are your works, Lord God Almighty. True and just are your ways, King of the nations. Lord, who will not fear and glorify your name? For you alone are holy. All the nations will come and worship before you, because your righteous acts have been revealed." After this, I looked, and the heavenly temple, the tabernacle of testimony, was opened. Out of the temple came the seven angels with the seven plagues, dressed in pure, bright linen with golden sashes wrapped around their chests. One of the four living creatures gave the seven angels seven golden bowls filled with the wrath of God, who lives forever and ever. Then the temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God and from his power, and no one could enter the temple until the seven plagues of the seven angels were completed. This is exactly what I said. This is praise to God before judgment. Praise to God for his honor, for his glory. And we ought to be warned here. These seven last bowls, you've got the seals, the trumpets, and the bowls, they are filled with the wrath of God. The seals are bad. The trumpets are tough. And I think these seven golden bowls, I think this comes near the end of the tribulation. This is God's further outpouring of his wrath on the earth rejected his son. Revelation chapter 16. "Then I heard a loud voice from the temple say to the seven angels, 'Go and pour out the seven bowls of God's wrath on the earth.' The first went and poured out his bowl on the earth, and severely painful sores broke out on the people who had the mark of the beast and who worshiped its image. The second poured out his bowl into the sea. It turned to blood like that of a dead person, and all life in the sea died. The third poured out his bowl into the rivers and the springs of water, and they became blood, I heard the angel of the waters say, you are just, the Holy One who is and who was, because you have passed judgment on these things. Because they poured out the blood of the saints and the prophets, you have given them blood to drink. They deserve it. I heard the altar say, yes, Lord, the Almighty, true and just are your judgments. The fourth poured out his bowl on the earth. It was allowed to scorch people with fire, and people were scorched by the intense heat. So they blasphemed the name of God who has the power over these plagues, and they did not repent and give him glory. The fifth poured out his bowl on the throne of the beast, and its kingdom was plunged into darkness. People gnawed their tongues because of their pain and blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, but they did not repent of their works. The sixth poured out his bowl on the great river Euphrates, and its water was dried up to prepare the way for the kings from the east. Then I saw three unclean spirits like frogs coming from the dragon's mouth, from the beast's mouth, and from the mouth of the false prophet. For they are demonic spirits performing signs who travel to the kings of the whole world to assemble them for the battle on the great day of God the Almighty. Look, I am coming like a thief. Blessed is the one who is alert and remains clothed so that he may not go around naked and people see his shame. So they assemble the kings at the place called in Hebrew Armageddon. Then the seventh poured out his bowl into the air, and a loud voice came out of the temple from the throne saying, it is done. There were flashes of lightning, rumblings, and peals of thunder, and a severe earthquake occurred like no other since people have been on the earth. So great was the quake. The great city split into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell. Babylon the Great was remembered in God's presence. He gave up her cup, filled with the wine of his fierce anger. Every island fled and the mountains disappeared. Enormous hailstones, each weighing about 100 pounds, fell from the sky on people, and they blasphemed God for the plague of hail, because that plague was extremely severe. Armageddon. When you go to the Holy Land, and I hope you will go, you'll go north out of Jerusalem into the central part of Israel, and there the plain of Jezreel, you can see today the remains of the ancient city of Megiddo. Armageddon simply means the hill of Megiddo. There is a vast plain there. And thousands of years ago, it was the crossroads of the nations, and great, enormous battles were fought in the plain of Jezreel, in and around the town of Megiddo. You can go to Armageddon. You can climb up on it. You can see this is where the last great battle will take place. And by the way, did you notice we've got another earthquake here? This one splits Jerusalem into three parts. And it says, this earthquake and the cities of the nations fell. Think about that. Think about that. Singapore, Mumbai, Jerusalem, Addis Ababa, Johannesburg, and Berlin, and Rome, and Istanbul, Moscow, Kyiv, Copenhagen, and São Paulo, and Santiago, and Panama City, and Washington, New York, Chicago, Kansas City, Tokyo, all the cities of the world, they all fall when the time of God's judgment comes. What a day that will be. Revelation 17. Then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls came and spoke with me. Come, and I will show you the judgment on the notorious prostitute who is seated on many waters. The kings of the earth committed sexual immorality with her. Those who live on the earth became drunk on the wine of her sexual immorality. Then he carried me away in the spirit to a wilderness. I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast that was covered with blasphemous names and had seven heads and 10 horns. The woman was dressed in purple and scarlet, adorned with gold, jewels, and pearls. She had a golden cup in her hand, filled with everything detestable and with the impurities of her prostitution. On her forehead was written a name, a mystery: Babylon the Great, the mother of prostitutes and of the detestable things of the earth. Then I saw that the woman was drunk with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the witnesses to Jesus. When I saw her, I was greatly astonished. Then the angel said to me, Why are you astonished? I will explain to you the mystery of the woman and of the beast with the seven heads and the 10 horns that carries her. The beast that you saw was and is not and is about to come up from the abyss and go to destruction. Those who live on the earth, whose names have not been written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, will be astonished when they see the beast that was and is not and is to come. This calls for a mind that has wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman is seated. They are also seven kings. Five has fallen, one is, and the other has not yet come. When he comes, he must remain for only a little while. The beast that was and is not is itself an eighth king, but it belongs to the seven and is going to destruction. The 10 horns you saw are 10 kings who have not yet received a kingdom, but they will receive authority as kings with the beast for 1 hour. These have one purpose. They give their power and authority to the beast. These will make war against the Lamb, but the Lamb will conquer them because he is Lord of lords and King of kings. Those with him are called, chosen, and faithful. He also said to me, the waters you saw where the prostitute was seated are peoples, multitudes, nations, and languages. The 10 horns you saw and the beast will hate the prostitute. They will make her desolate and naked, devour her flesh, and burn her up with fire. For God has put it into their hearts to carry out his plan by having one purpose and to give their kingdom to the beast until the words of God are fulfilled. And the woman you saw is the great city that has royal power over the kings of the earth. Revelation 18. Just know this. Revelation 8, 17 and 18 go together. Revelation 17 talks about the doom of Babylon. It's going down. And chapter 18 now going to describe the fall of Babylon. After this, I saw another angel with great authority coming down from heaven, and the earth was illuminated by his splendor. He called out in a mighty voice, "It has fallen. Babylon the Great has fallen. She has become a home for demons, a haunt for every unclean spirit, a haunt for every unclean bird, and a haunt for every unclean and despicable beast. For all the nations have drunk the wine of her sexual immorality, which brings wrath. The kings of the earth have committed sexual immorality with her, and the merchants of the earth have grown wealthy from her sensuality and excess." Then I heard another voice from heaven, "Come out of her, my people, so that you will not share in her sins or receive any of her plagues, for her sins are piled up to heaven, and God has remembered her crimes. Pay her back the way she is also paid, and double it according to her works. In the cup which she mixed, mix a double portion for her. As much as she glorified herself and indulged her sensual and excessive ways, give her that much torment and grief. For she says in her heart, 'I sit as a queen. I am not a widow, and I will never see grief.' For this reason, her plagues will come in just one day, death and grief and famine. She will be burned up with fire because the Lord God who judges her is mighty. The kings of the earth who have committed sexual immorality and shared her sensual and excessive ways will weep and mourn over her when they see the smoke from her burning. They will stand afar off in fear of her torment, saying, 'Woe, woe, the great city, Babylon, the mighty city, for in a single hour your judgment has come.' The merchants of the earth will weep and mourn over her because no one buys their cargo any longer. Cargo of gold, silver, jewels, and pearls, fine linen, purple, silk, and scarlet, all kinds of fragrant wood products, objects of ivory, objects of expensive wood, brass, iron, and marble, cinnamon, spice, incense, myrrh, and frankincense, wine, olive oil, fine flour, and grain, cattle and sheep, horses and carriages, and slaves, human lives. The fruit you craved has left you. All your splendid and glamorous things are gone. They will never find them again. The merchants of these things who became rich from her will stand far off in fear of her torment, weeping and mourning, saying, 'Woe, woe, the great city, dressed in fine linen, purple and scarlet, adorned with gold, jewels, and pearls. For in a single hour, such fabulous wealth was destroyed. And every shipmaster, seafarer, the sailors, and all who do business by sea stood afar off as they watched the smoke from her burning and kept crying out, 'Who was like the great city?' They threw dust on their heads and kept crying out, weeping and mourning, 'Woe, woe, the great city, where all those who have ships on the sea became rich from her wealth, for in a single hour she was destroyed.' Rejoice over her, heaven, and you saints, apostles, and prophets, for God has pronounced on her the judgment she passed on you. Then a mighty angel picked up a stone like a large millstone and threw it into the sea, saying, in this way, Babylon, the great sea, will be thrown down violently and never found again. The sound of harpists, musicians, flutists, and trumpeters will never be heard in you again. No craftsman of any trade will ever be found in you again. The sound of a mill will never be heard in you again. The light of a harp, of a lamp, will never shine in you again. And the voice of a groom and bride will never be heard in you again. All this will happen because your merchants were the nobility of the earth, because all the nations were deceived by your sorcery. In her was found the blood of prophets and saints and of all those slaughtered on the earth. Whew. Now, what does this mean? The beast, the false prophet, the dragon, the unholy satanic trinity, the dragon, the antichrist, and the false prophet, they are together behind this woman. This woman personifies Babylon. What does this mean? Well, we should look forward to, or look for, the days to come. One world religion, one world communication, one world economy. We got to know that as the Babylon of the last days is upon us, it's going to be harder and harder to stand up for Jesus. It's going to be harder and harder be a Christian and live in the business world, be a Christian and live in the medical world, be a Christian and teach in a university, to be a Christian and have some high place in politics. It's just going to be harder and harder because Babylon is going to be so organized that those who dare to stand for Christ will pay an enormous price. Now, what is Babylon? Well, we could talk for an hour about that, but let me just give you something to think about. This Babylon here is the end times Babylon, personified by this woman who's riding on a beast. And by the way, did you notice, and I think this hit me more than it has other times when I've read these chapters, the emphasis on sexual immorality. I know chapter 18 talks a lot about the economy. The Babylon's going to be popular in the last days because Babylon is a system going to control the money and the power, the wealth and the praise and the glory. And if you want to be in on the gold and silver, if you want to rise to the top, you got to be a part of Babylon. You got to live according to the values of Babylon, because that's where the money and the praise and the acclaim and the degrees and the fame and the fortune, that's where it is. In fact, I know that's where it's always been, but it's really going to be that way in an extreme extent in the last days. And I know chapter 18 talks about that, but chapter 17 emphasizes the sexual immorality. The kings of the earth committed sexual immorality. She's a prostitute. Understand that in the last days, we're going to see, we used to talk about certain community morality and all that. That's basically gone. Anyway, today, anything goes. Anything goes. We're going to see further loosening of standards, if that's possible. People say, what about evolution? Well, what we're seeing is social devolution as men and women turn away from God. Things never get better when you turn away from God. They only get worse. And I tell you today, this praise of immorality, this transgender insanity, this mutilation of our children, the praise of gay marriage. And let's face it, you go on the internet and the amount of sexual perversity that's everywhere around us. This is what the book of Revelation is talking about. So what is Babylon? Well, first of all, it was a city. Then it was an empire. There was an ancient city of Babylon. We know where it is. Saddam Hussein knew where it was. He tried to restore ancient Babylon. You can go to Iraq and you can see the remains of Babylon. It's not been completely excavated, but a lot of it has been. And it was an amazing ancient city. Babylon was a city, then it was a kingdom, and then it becomes in the Bible a system. It's the ultimate anti-God system. Just as the Antichrist is not just against Christ, he's a replacement for Christ. Babylon is the world in its ultimate rebellion against God. And I didn't say this yesterday, but what is the mark of the beast? It's 666. Now, in the last days, we'll understand better what that means. But we know the number seven is the number of completion. 777, if you'd say it this way, is the number of completion or perfection. What is 666? It's the number of man in his rebellion against God. It's man in his perverted science and in his perverted morality and in the perverted darkness of his mind. 666 represents a world in complete and final and total rebellion against God. It's the anti-God system. It's what John was talking about when he said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For this world, with all of its evil desires, is going down. It's ending. But he who does the will of God abides forever. So what do we learn from all this? There is a Babylon. It's the end time world system that hates God and hates those who love the Lord. Babylon is going down, and those who join with Babylon, they are going down too. So what's the message? Have no part in Babylon. Have no part in it whatsoever. Did you hear that verse in chapter 18? Come out. Come out. Have no part of her. No sitting on the fence. So an old time gospel song I gave you 2 days ago, a little bit from Crowning with Many Crowns, and then yesterday a little bit from Larry Norman. I wish we'd all been ready. Okay, here is a old gospel song. I think it's been at least 40 years since I've heard this song sung in a worship service by a man named Palmer Hartsoe. Wrote it in 1896. It's called I Am Resolved. I think some of you old timers will recognize this, but if you're young, you probably won't. I am resolved no longer to linger, charmed by the world's delight. Things that are higher, things that are nobler, these have allured my sight. I am resolved to go to the Savior, leaving my sin and strife. He is the true one. He is the just one. He has the words of life. I am resolved to follow the Savior, faithful and true each day. Heed what he saith, do what he willeth. He is the living way. I am resolved to enter the kingdom, leaving the paths of sin. Friends may oppose me, foes may beset me, still will I enter in. I am resolved, and who will go with me? Come, friends, without delay, taught by the Bible, led by the Spirit, we'll walk the heavenly way. And here's the chorus. I will hasten to him, hasten so glad and free. Jesus, greatest, highest, I will come to thee. Oh, my friends, let us then today make the resolution, whatever it takes, whatever it costs, we will follow Jesus wherever he goes, wherever he leads. It doesn't matter what the world says. The world doesn't love us anyway. Who cares what the people of the world say? Let us say we will follow Jesus. So what's the message here at the end? We must live in the world, but the world must not live in us. So Lord, we pray today for courage, strength, and resolution to follow you, leaving the paths of sin. Go where you lead us. Do what you teach us. We'll walk the heavenly way. Help us to live that way today. Help us to shine our light for Jesus in these dark days so that people will know that we love our Savior. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, come back tomorrow. 2 days left. You know what happens tomorrow in the reading? The greatest event, the greatest coming event in world history, the return of Jesus Christ to the earth. Hey, folks, don't miss it. Thank you for joining us today. See you back here tomorrow. Jesus is coming again. God bless you. See you then.